Father, all those words and thoughts that come from thee, wilt thou bless them and make them fruitful. And all those words and thoughts that come not from thee, but from our own vanity, wilt thou forgive. Amen. A snatch of conversation has stayed in my mind from nearly 50 years ago. The speaker was a Russian Orthodox scholar, Dr. Nicholas Zernoff, and he said to me, "Do you love the Holy Trinity? Would you be prepared to die for the sake of the Holy Trinity?" And it's a snatch of conversation that came back to me, obviously, because it is Trinity Sunday. I was the person addressed, and I was rather nonplussed. I didn't know what to say. Part of my difficulty was that I thought that a proper response to his question should be some version of the classically formulated doctrine of the Trinity, and I wasn't sure that I could remember it. You know the doctrine, we worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. At least I knew enough to realize that it's not possible to communicate the energy of the life of the Holy Trinity simply by reading from the wiring diagram. The vision of God as Trinity emerged slowly over time. The 4th century Archbishop of Constantinople, Gregory Nazianzen, said, "In the Old Testament, it proclaims the Father openly." And we heard a vision of God from the prophet Isaiah. It proclaims the Father openly and the Son more obscurely. In the New Testament, the Son is manifested, and the New Testament suggests the godlike status of the Holy Spirit. "Now," says the Archbishop, "the Spirit himself dwells among us and supplies us with a clearer demonstration of himself." In speaking of God the Father, we can invoke the God of the philosophers. In speaking of the Son, we can appeal to history. But in speaking of the Holy Spirit, we acknowledge with St. John that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. The you here is not the singular you, not each one of us. The Holy Spirit dwells in the community of faith and interpretation, dwells in the church, moves between us, and creates communication between us. In the gospel reading we just heard, Nicodemus, a noted religious authority, visits Jesus Christ, and John says he comes by night. Everything in St. John's gospel is freighted with meaning. The gospel is the result of years of dwelling on the story of Jesus Christ. And when it says he came by night, it means that he came in the night of unawareness. Nicodemus was unaware. And one of the great problems of being unaware is that one is commonly unaware of it. And so he arrives, Nicodemus. And you notice that he doesn't actually listen. He immediately creates a frame and tells Jesus that he's a teacher sent from God and tries to locate him, to fit him into his own Nicodemus's frame of reference. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." And Jesus responds in a rather baffling way. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And it's no surprise that Nicodemus is baffled. Jesus is speaking of being born of the Spirit. In a later chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 7, it says, "In the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.' And this spake he of the Spirit." The first condition for receiving the Holy Spirit is not great learning of the kind that Nicodemus possessed. It's not merit, it's desire. It's not being full of oneself, it's being empty enough to be filled. And in the following chapter, to the one we've heard the reading, in chapter 4, it's the Samaritan woman who'd lived a very rackety life indeed, not overly respectable. She got the point, whereas Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, was so full that he couldn't hear and he couldn't see. The main business of the Christian life is to live and grow in the Holy Spirit and come to share in the life of the Holy Trinity. As St. Peter says in his letter, to become a partaker of the divine nature. Sometimes people are tempted to associate the Holy Spirit with extraordinary things, tongues of flame and the like, but the reality is more profound, more simple, more everyday. Human beings are thirsty animals. You don't come to life in the Holy Trinity save by water and the Spirit. Human beings are thirsty animals, thirsty for life and thirsty for meaning. The word in Hebrew for a human soul is nephesh, which also means a throat. And in St. John, the image of the living waters that satisfy this profound thirst for meaning, the image is associated with the gift of the Spirit. Jesus says to that Samaritan woman, "The water from the well will only satisfy your thirst for the moment, but whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life." The Holy Spirit opens up channels of communication with God, the Holy Trinity, and as we focus on the one, as we diminish in egotism, we are brought closer to one another and can communicate deeply and profoundly with one another. At Pentecost, we are told there were Jews from every country under heaven speaking many different languages, but they could all understand what the apostles were saying. There's a deliberate counterpoint here, a deliberate counterpoint to the story in the book of Genesis, where they're building a great project. They're building a ziggurat, the Tower of Babel. And that led to the division of languages, the introduction of confusion of tongues, conflict and disintegration. In the Pentecost event, that's all brought together once again. Now, the town I come from, London, not unlike St. Louis, in being a town of unparalleled diversity. It's a laboratory in which the future of the human project on this planet is being explored. Shall we be able to live together harmoniously and creatively, or will it be impossible for a city like ours, which, just to take one example of one of our secondary schools, it's got about 900 students, and between them, they speak 70 languages. From Albanian to Zulu. Now, is a city like that, with that kind of diversity, is that going to cohere? The gift of Pentecost is that with everybody in the Spirit looking towards the One, looking beyond ourselves, relating through the Spirit to the Holy Trinity. This longing for the one brings about the possibility of unity with others, decentering from ourselves and recentering on God brings about the possibility of unity with others. Profound communication comes from a progressive diminution of egotism, a day-to-day turning towards our highest vocation, which brings us in the power of the Spirit into unity with the Holy Trinity. And this has to be practiced every day. This is not just an idea in the mind, some theory. Every day there has to be that simple and persevering prayer which takes leave of the surface of life, that crust which forms as life goes on, takes leave of the ego-mental level, the I level, the crust which we create to operate in the world. The simple prayer is a prayer of going beyond that surface self and exploring the dark continent within, looking unafraid at the shadows, the cravings, the compulsions, the drives, navigating our way, accompanied by Jesus Christ, through that dark continent until we reach the spiritual heart. And the spiritual heart, which the Hebrews located not in the pump, which drives the blood around the system, but in the vitals of a human being. And when you come through this deep and simple persevering prayer to that point, the spiritual heart, you can taste and see what it is like to be able to live and act and speak without distortion, without a hidden agenda. That is the kind of deep and simple prayer which lays us open to the prayer of the Holy Spirit, which, as St. Paul says, the Holy Spirit is always praying inside us already. For Christians, every individual person is unique and unrepeatable, not to be homogenized or confused or just drowned in the collective. But we find, as individual persons, our meaning and our joy in life and an intimation of eternal life as we keep the commandment to love and as we relate to one another in God. God enables us to live in this way because he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is already dynamic communion. His very being is communion. In the 20th century, there were great ideological standoffs. Some people said it's the individual that really counts. Other people say, oh, it's the collective. It's the collective in which the individual must immerse themselves. The Christian faith, the faith of the Holy Trinity, says we become who we are meant to be. We become unique and unrepeatable persons to the extent to which we can enter into communion through the Spirit with other persons. God is not a solitary monad before whom we can simply kneel down and obey. God is one, but God in his being is a dynamic, mutual indwelling between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we are invited to participate in this Trinitarian life, neither homogenizing our individuality or abandoning the vision of the oneness and the unity that comes when you share in the life of God. Now, I think if I was asked, what for you is the most precious verse in the New Testament, what would you want to have said as you lay dying? I would choose the verse that we heard at the end of our reading. God so loved the world that he was generous and gave himself. Love for God, of course, is not an emotion which ebbs and flows, comes and goes. You can't be commanded to have that kind of emotional love. Love for God is self-giving, going beyond the self to the other, just as God in his nature, just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit experience a mutual indwelling. God so loved the world that he gave himself to us in his two arms, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Trinity, speaks in and through this self-giving love. God so loved the world, and anyone who wants to share in the life of God, anyone who wishes to proclaim the gospel, must enter into this dynamic exchange of love. Today, I hope that I would be able, 50 years too late, but I would be able to say with simplicity and humility, yes, I love the Holy Trinity and would be prepared to die to honor the vision which we are given in Jesus Christ of life in the Trinity made possible by the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells among us in this church and binds us together in one body. And to Jesus Christ and to the glorious Trinity be the glory in this church, now and forever. Amen.
Very amply rewarded this morning. So we